It's good sometimes to look at people in the Bible and analyse them. And next week we're looking at Samson, and he's really one for the couch. Here's somebody with women issues, rage issues, hair care issues. He's got it all. And this week we're looking at Jephthah. It's quite a tragic story, really. But the one thing that comes across when you look at this story, as we'll in a minute, is that he has trust issues. Now, it's not always a bad thing to have trust issues. If all of us were totally trusting all the time, we'd have like 7 lots of double glazing on our houses, we'd have 20 credit cards in each pocket, we'd have PPI coming towards us left, right and centre. So it's good to be a little bit mistrusting in today's world. But where we have trust issues, it can be a problem in our walk with God. And it certainly was for Jephthah. So let's hear about him now as we have our reading.
All right, sorry for the delay. The reading this morning is taken from Judges 11, verses 29 to 39, which can be found on page 255 in the Pew Bibles. Then the Spirit of the Lord came to Jephthah. He crossed Gilead to Manasseh, passed through Mizpah to Gilead, and from there he advanced against the Ammonites. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord, "If you give the Ammonites into my hands, whatever comes out of the door of my house to meet me when I return in triumph from the Ammonites will be the Lord's, and I will sacrifice it as a burnt offering." Then Jephthah went over to fight the Ammonites. The Lord gave them into his hands. He devastated 20 towns from Orah to the vicinity of Minnith and as far as Abel to Keramin. Thus Israel subdued Ammon. Then Jephthah returned to his home in Mizpah, but who should come out to meet him but his daughter, dancing at the sound of the tambourines? She was an only child. Except for her, he had neither son nor daughter. When he saw her, he tore his clothes and cried, "Oh no, my daughter, you have brought me down. You have brought me down, and I am devastated. I have made a vow to the Lord that I cannot break." "My father," she replied, "you have given your word to the Lord. Do to me just as you promised. Now that the Lord has avenged you of your enemies, the Ammonites, but grant me this one request," she said. "Give me 2 months to roam the hills and weep with my friends, because I will never marry." "You may go," he said, and let her go for 2 months. She and her friends went into the hills and wept because she would never marry. After 2 months, she returned to her father, and he did to her as he had vowed, and she was a virgin. It's the word of the Lord.
What a tragic story. And earlier on, I was mentioning that Jephthah was somebody with trust issues. But when you actually look at his life and see what happened to him, it's quite easy to understand why. Jephthah was an illegitimate son. His dad tried to bring him up in the household, but his wife was not happy. His stepmom, that's Jephthah's stepmom, was not happy with the arrangement. And his half-brothers threw him out. Now, if you're a psychologist, this is a classic way to end up with trust issues. If you're rejected at an early age, if you're rejected by your family, if you're rejected by friends, if people you trust let you down, this is a classic way to end up with trust issues. And if you rewind before the bit we read just then, we can see Jephthah's trust issues in action. Because Israel had gone into this cycle. Do you remember this thing in Judges where things are all right, then they turn to foreign gods, then they get invaded, and they cry out to God, and God raises up someone to help them. And it goes in this spiral again and again and again. Well, Israel was at this point where they'd abandoned God, gone over to false gods, they'd been invaded by Ammon, they'd been subdued for 18 years, which is quite a long time to be put down. And they cried out to God, but God was so fed up with Israel by now, he just said, "Well, why don't you go to your fake God, see if they can help you." And they cried out again and again. Eventually, God got fed up with them crying out to him. And he answered their prayer and he raised up an army. But as you know, an army needs a commander. So who did they go to? Jephthah. Now, Jephthah had been driven out of his home. He'd lived this life an outlaw. And whatever his bad points were, he certainly was a good military commander. Verse 29, the Spirit of the Lord came on Jephthah. He's going in for the battle, in for the attack. But what we don't sometimes remember is that before this, the Israelites said, oh, come and be our leader. And if you be our leader, we'll make you the ruler of our country. And he didn't believe them. This was somebody with trust issues. He didn't believe them. Eventually, they had to promise and promise and promise. We swear that we'll make you our leader. Okay, well, I'll do it then. So as he goes, the Spirit of the Lord comes on him. Like he does on a lot of the judges, the Spirit of the Lord comes. He crossed Gilead and Manasseh, passed through Mizpah of Gilead, and from there on he advanced against the Ammonites, and Jephthah made a vow to the Lord. Here it comes. If you give me the Ammonites into my hands, whatever comes out the door of my house to meet me when I return in triumph to the Ammonites will be the Lord's, and I will sacrifice it as a burnt offering. I remember hearing this story when I was a kid, and you can feel it coming, can't you? Yeah? You can feel the tragedy coming. When someone makes a promise like that, because they don't trust God, they feel they're going to have to make a promise and a vow for everything to come right. You just know it's going to come unstuck. It's like when the Titanic, isn't it? This ship will never sink. You're asking for trouble, aren't you? Or when England are about to play a match and someone says, this is going to be an easy one. Yeah? But when I heard the story years ago, I put it down to the fact, well, this guy Jephthah is a bit of a hothead. That's what it is. He's the sort of person who goes out and goes, I swear I'll do that. Yes, I'll, you know. But not really. If you look at the passage before this, he doesn't jump into battle straight away, even though he's been made commander of the army. He goes and negotiates. He says to the Ammonites, hey, look, this land was given to us by God. Don't you remember? This is our land. He tries to persuade them without there being a fight. The Ammonites say no. What comes across is that Jephthah knows all about God. He just doesn't know God. And that's a big distinction, isn't it? He knows all about God. He just doesn't know God. And there's a lot of religious people. There's a lot of Christians. Certainly other religions, other faiths who know all about God. They just haven't had that relationship with God. And that's what Jephthah's like. And you see, there's a circle where we can get into, which is a good circle, not a vicious circle, a positive circle, where we know about God, we find out about God, we get to know God, and we get to know that God is somebody who's worth trusting. So therefore, we trust God, and we step out and do things. We're hearing from Mandy about how it's important to step out. Well, you step out and do things, and you learn that God is good. So you get in this circle of knowing more about God and trusting him. So how do we get to know God better? Well, we read his word. We spend time with him. We're honest with him. We pray those prayers that Mandy was talking about when I just want to come before God and go, Lord, you've got to do something. There's a passage in Mark 9 where Jesus heals a man's son who's got this demon, who's possessed. He throws himself to the ground. And the father is so desperate for the son to be healed. And Jesus says, do you believe? He says, I do believe, but help me. Help me in my unbelief. And what we sometimes forget is that God is right near. God has traveled, if you like, all the way around the world to be near us. He's traveled to be our next door neighbor. He's done all the hard work. All we need to do is take that step and come towards him. In James 4, it says, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. So it's important that unlike Jephthah, we know God. We don't just know about him, we know him. Then Jephthah went over to fight the Ammonites, and the Lord gave them into his hands. He devastated 20 towns from Aroer to the vicinity of Minnith, as far as Abel, Keramim. Thus Israel subdued Ammon. When Jephthah returned to his home in Mizpah, who should come out to meet him but his daughter, dancing to the sound of a tambourine? There's an exclamation mark there. Now, it's not often in the Bible you'll find an exclamation mark in the story. You find it when people are crying out to God, when people are saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord. When people are crying out and saying things, there's exclamation marks, but in the story you don't often find it, but here's one here. Because this is so terrible, isn't it? He comes back, having made this promise, and who does he meet but his daughter? Even the person writing this down finds it too much. And sometimes life comes to us with exclamation marks, doesn't it? Sometimes life comes to us with these terrible, tragic things. And what we need to do is, like the man in the story of Mark with the son who's ill, we need to come back at God with an exclamation mark and say, yes, help me, Lord, in my unbelief. It's okay to cry to God. It's okay to come before him and say, Lord, make yourself real. Lord, reveal yourself. We need to use exclamation marks sometimes with God. Sometimes we think it's only right to come from quietly, peacefully, and that's good. But sometimes when disaster strikes, when tragedy happens, we need to come before God with an exclamation mark. It goes on, she was an only child, except for her he had neither son nor daughter. When he saw her, he tore his clothes and cried out, oh no, my daughter, you have brought me down, and I'm devastated. I've made a vow to the Lord that I cannot break. My father, she replied, you have given your word to the Lord. Do to me just as you promised, now that the Lord has avenged you of your enemies, the Ammonites. But grant me this one request. Give me 2 months to roam the hills and to weep with my friends, because I will never marry. So where do you go from there? It's a total tragedy. It's like one of those Shakespeare plays where everyone's dead on the stage at the end. Because the Greeks had this funny idea about tragedy many years ago. They thought if you go and watch a really sad play, you come out feeling better. And there's some truth in that. But this story doesn't really make us feel better. What we need to remind ourselves is the Bible is full of themes. There's themes that go right from the beginning and reappear right through to the end. If you think about it, if you ever get stuck on a rainy day with no power and a pen and a paper, you could write down about 50, 60, 70 of these themes or more. You could probably find things that other people haven't found before. Things like gold. Gold keeps going in the Bible. Silver. Bread. Think of all the times that bread comes in the Bible. Water. Deserts. Gardens. Mountains. All these things come into the Bible again and again. They're themes. It's almost like God has written this rich book full of themes that we can follow them all the way through. And the death of an innocent person is a theme. It says in Revelation 13, it talks about Jesus. So right at the end of the Bible, it talks about Jesus, who is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. So Jesus was killed, in effect. Jesus set his face towards dying for us before Adam and Eve, before Jephthah, before all the things in the Bible, all the examples in the Bible where terrible things happened and people died. Jesus had already set his face towards that right from the beginning of the world. Because God is intentional. We can't always see what he's going to do. And like Jephthah, we have trust issues with God. We don't always know what's going to come next. But it's okay for us to cry out to him and say, Lord, show us, help us in our unbelief. Show us what you're going to do. Because God will have something for us to step into. God has already, from the beginning of the world, before we were born, God has ordained us for a ministry, for a work, for something to do in our lives. He's called us. He has a plan. And we need to step into that plan that God has got for us. Because God thinks from eternity to eternity. And the last two verses. You may go, said Jephthah. And he let her go for 2 months. She and her friends went into the hills and wept because she would never marry. After the 2 months, she returned to her father. And he did to her as he vowed. And she was a virgin. If you can think of the most stupid thing you've ever done. Now for me, I could do a very long list of those. I was going to share one, but I won't because it's too embarrassing. But just imagine that. If you picture that in your mind, something just, why did I do that? And just imagine they turned it into a national holiday. People going around wearing t-shirts about this thing that you've done. How would you feel? It wouldn't be very good, would it? Jephthah not only has to face the death of his daughter, he has to kill her because he's made this promise. But every year they go out and celebrate this. They go out and remember this. And he has to face it every year. It can't have been easy for him. Jephthah was somebody who had trust issues. He didn't trust that God would win this battle without him making this stupid promise. And we have, some of us have walked through life with huge trust issues. Our whole lives are lacking in trust. And it can show itself in all sorts of ways. If you don't trust people, when someone confides in you, you're surprised. If you don't trust people, you don't give them your jobs to do because you don't think they're going to do them. If we don't trust people, generally, we need to come before God in prayer. We need to ask for forgiveness, ask him to heal us, because it's almost like a sickness. And some of us are weighed down with trust issues, and we need prayer, we need help and support, we need God to release us from that. But for some of us, we're fine, but maybe there's just one thing that we need to trust God more for. And if you know, if you look in your heart, you'll know perhaps there's that one thing. I'll mention two things that are common, but there's many more. And these are things that I've wrestled with. They're not just things that I'm just saying. Our money. It's difficult to trust God with our money, isn't it, sometimes? To take that step of giving more. Of trusting God. God calls some people to tithe, to give more. And sometimes that's very, very difficult. We don't trust God with our money. We don't trust that God will help us with our money. We're fearful about things to do with money. And God wants us to take that step to overcome. Another one is witnessing. And this is a big one for me. I find it really hard sometimes to sit down with people and go, hi, this is what I believe, and share our faith with people. Because we're worried in case what they'll think about us. We're worried that we're weird. They're worried they'll think wrong of us. And I read something recently, which I hope will encourage you, if that is the thing that you find it difficult to trust God about. I was reading a book by a guy called J.D. Greer, and he'd done a lot of work in Southeast Asia, in a country where it was very strongly Muslim. And you can imagine the work there is difficult, it's hard. And he'd been there all this time, struggling. And it was an hour before he was supposed to go off and catch his plane, and an old friend of his from the area, a Muslim lad called Ahmed, came to visit him. And said, I know you're in a hurry to go, but can I just share something with you? He said, I've had this dream last night. And in his dream, this lad said, you were going to heaven and I wasn't. So what was going on there? What was happening? And he had a chance to share his faith with this lad. And he said in this book, we just don't know what God is doing in people. When we share our faith, we don't know what is happening in the other person. We just need to trust God and step out in faith. There may be something in your life that you know you need to trust God more for. That's between you and God. But I'd suggest that just ask for prayer. Ask God to heal you and to break through. And you can step into the ministry and into the calling that God will have for you.